way in his description of that. He's very well versed in what's going on. He wasn't just theatrical, and he wasn't harmless. I still don't think that REM sleep is enough to keep somebody in bed when somebody's firing a rifle or even a handgun, for that matter, inside the house like that. It just doesn't make any sense, and it still doesn't make any sense.
We may never know what the DeFeo's dog was barking at that fateful night, but it is possible that the dog was aware of events and their diabolical perpetrators taking place inside 112 Ocean Avenue that no one else on Ocean Avenue was.
Deliver us from evil. Timeline, 13 November, 1973, 6:30 p.m., Henry's Bar, Amityville, New York.
The DeFeo's dog had begun barking shortly after 3:15 a.m. 12 hours later, at 3:30 p.m., Ronald DeFeo Jr. shows up for the first time at Henry's Bar, just down the street from the DeFeo home, nicknamed High Hopes. He stays for an hour and a half, leaves, then returns at 6 p.m., has a drink, then leaves again. At 6:30 p.m., DeFeo returns, frantically shouting to the men at the bar and the bartender to come back to his parents' house with him because he was afraid something had happened to his parents. The men race down the street and into his parents' house. No one knows just then that the town of Amityville, New York, has just enjoyed its last minute of anonymity. What kind of a man wants to show his friends that kind of carnage? It would seem to me that if I'm one of the friends and I'm thinking back on this, I got to be thinking that, did he bring me down there so I could be next?
Well, I, you know, like I said, I have a cousin of mine who knew some of these people. He knew one of the guys that was there named Kelski. He said that Kelski was the one who saw the mother and father and said that Butch stayed downstairs on the first floor. He didn't go up. And I believe that, you know, I don't think Butch was thinking about his friends. I think Butch was thinking about himself. And he somewhere in his twisted mind, I believe, felt that if somebody else found the body, it would alleviate him from being a suspect. Remember, we're dealing with a guy who drops LSD and does heroin on a regular basis, or maybe just on weekends. He's a recreational heroin user, from what they say. The night that he claims, the night that that he committed the murders, he had taken some drugs, and he fell asleep while he was watching TV. Castle Keep, I believe, with Burt Lancaster is the movie that he was watching.
Going to be shut to hell.
We don't have to defend Hill. We can drop back on
him. I knew that.
Major, I don't think you know what this castle means.
It stands on the most important crossroads in the Ardennes.
Yeah, isn't possible.
It stands on the road to
Vestal. And when he woke up,
Major, I think we should pull back.
He can hear, he swore he can hear his family conspiring against him. Now, does he have some kind of a mental problem? I'm pretty sure that he does, but it wasn't enough to make him not know the difference between right and wrong, obviously. You know, they tried the insanity defense, and it didn't work, actually. So you have a whole bunch of different sides to the story. You know, there wasn't anything going on. The prosecutor isn't going to go with something like that. The devil made him do it. The defense will only use it if they can get their client off. If it's weak, they're going to try to dismiss it because they can't use it. And if somebody is proven to be mentally culpable to withstand trial, and they can't use that type of defense. You know, they weren't smart enough, actually. And it's not really provable, to tell you the truth, in a court of law. They're not going to accept the fact that I was possessed. And that's the reason why I did it. The law isn't going to recognize that. They don't want to.
This is about all that is known to have happened to the now deceased members of the DeFeo family on the night of November 12th and morning of November 13th, 1974. Back at the DeFeo house, a call is placed to the Suffolk County Police at 6:35 p.m. by bar patron Joe Yesit. At 6:40, Officer Kenneth Griguski is the first police officer to arrive at around 7 p.m. Ronald DeFeo Jr. is interviewed by Detective Gaspar Redonzo. The rest of the police begin their assessment of the horrific scene at 112 Ocean Avenue. By 5 p.m. the next day, after initially fingering DeFeo family friend, 70-year-old Louis Filani, a short man who needed a cane to walk, Ronald Butch DeFeo Jr. has confessed to being the killer.
Let's recap what we've learned so far this episode. 6 months prior to the DeFeo murders, Ronald DeFeo Sr. visited Montreal, Canada, in what Ed Warren called a famous shrine where many miracles had occurred.